Show. This is your host, David Yanez, and you're listening to Midwatch with the Rev. God bless you. Thank you for tuning in. Of course, we're having the technical difficulties on the day we're back on Tuesday here. Well, we're on the air, and that's all that matters. We're going to have Marty Makowski, Pastor Marty Makowski, with us and author with us in the next segment. We're going to do a short segment right now and just talk to you just for a little bit about things that God is doing, and we're excited. It's not good when you start your show and then your internet's down, so we're glad to actually get that worked out, and we are actually on the air now, so that's always a good thing to be with you. I pray God is blessing you and doing great things for you. We had a great interview last week, actually two great interviews last week. We had Sherry Kagi and we had Pastor George Vargas. Amazing interviews. In both of those interviews, they're actually on the radio, and then they went to pre-record me on the TV as well from where their locations are. We did a Skype interview, and I tell you, God is doing some great things. I don't know about you, but I've been busy doing the work of the Lord, and it's always good to be about my Father's business. Amen. How many of us are like that, that we are very good when we're busy? We're very good when we have things to do that are in front of us, and we just excel when there are things to do. But there is a time, and I can very much tell you this and tell you that there is a time when you're not busy, and you sit and you wonder, you know, God, are you going to use me? Are you not going to use me? I tell you, the biggest challenge that I face when I do ministry overseas and I come back is the challenge that it's amazing what God does over there. You heard Pastor Vargas last week say the same thing, that, you know, just the hunger, just the desire, just the willingness of wanting God to do something in their life, that all they have is God. And I gotta say that's true. And the hardest thing for me is when I come back and I get back into my normal routine, because how many of us know we can't live every day in the mission field unless God's called you to be a missionary, to be there 100% of the time? I tell you what, I think I shared with you probably a couple of weeks ago that I just did not feel, I felt like there was a time when during the trip that it was already time to come back, because I started thinking about the cares of this world and the same thing. And the same thing happens when I'm out there. So I know that if God called me to be out there 24/7, I would not start beginning to think it's time to go back. It's time to take care of things. You'll know if God's called you to be out there. There's a young lady that was on Divine Intervention. I don't know her name, but she went on, like, she's only like, I think, 20 or so, maybe even that. I don't know if she's even that old, but she already did like 29 mission trips and gone around the world. And some people are called to do that and can do that. You know, I have 4 kids and a beautiful wife, and have a television ministry and a radio ministry that God is just getting off the ground, the TV ministry. And, you know, and then I'm also an author, and I have authors that I'm responsible for through my publishing company. And that is a lot of stuff to do. And we're adding a new thing this year. We're adding 2 new things this year, and it's going to be Rev Tours, which is our travel business that purposely focus on mission trips and cruise ships to go out there and minister the gospel. And we're going to be bringing that. But then the other thing we're going to be also bringing is we're going to be making a movie. I told you that last two weeks I've been saying I'm going to make a movie. Well, I tell you what, I've decided that I am. I'm going to join that Kickstarter probably by mid August and try and get this thing rolling and get some answers on some of the things that questions I have on this stuff. But I'm going to do it with or without the Kickstarter. I told you that before. But when you're not busy, my friends, I'm saying, when I got back from the mission trip, there was some time that I took just to rest. There's some time that I just sit there and thank God for the good things. I even tried to write an article, but I couldn't even write an article. I was just so overwhelmed with what God did. And Pastor Vargas was sharing with you last week, there's some miracles that I don't even remember. I don't remember me even praying for these people and them getting healed. I kind of vaguely remember, but it was stuff that he seen that was really touched his heart I can't wait till Thursday, because Thursday we have Pastor Miguel Renteria. He went with us as well, and he's part of the team. We call each other, we call us the team, Team Jesus. And he will be with us on the air. He'll be doing a live interview on the radio, and then he'll be doing a Skype interview with me afterwards. And I'm excited about that, because he is just a man of God. He sees things. He hears things. You're going to get a treat, because he's going to hear something from the Lord to share with you. And we believe that he's going to be a blessing to your life. And that's what this show is on. This show is on the air. And I had to think about this in the last 3 weeks, just really thinking about how much I can improve the show, or what was the show's main focus. And that was that we're here to encourage you. You know, Pastor Vargas shared a testimony the other day on the air that the word of God in Revelation says they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. You know, I don't know about you. I don't know about anyone else, but I need that testimony. I need that testimony in my life. And sometimes you tune in and you're like, well, I don't know why I'm listening. Well, I want to give you a testimony to encourage you. I want to give you a testimony to be a blessing. I want to give you a testimony to help you just get over that little hump. You know, sometimes we just need a little bit of something to build us to believe in something bigger. You know, my pastor always says this, and I really enjoy him when he says this, and it's kind of comical in a way. He goes, don't believe for a Ferrari when you can't believe for a Pinto. Well, I'm like, Pastor, Pinto was like 20 years ago. I love you, brother, but you're dating yourself. So don't believe for $1 million if you can't believe God for $500 or $100. You see, fear will come in your life, and it'll try and dictate your day. It'll try and hold you back. It'll try and discourage you. Fear is the enemy, and the Bible says that he has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. Praise God. So fear comes in every day trying to seep in your life. Remember the scripture said that beware of the devil, your adversary, the devil, a roaring lion, roaming about seeking whom he may what? Devour. He may devour. So if the devil is roaming around seeking about whom he may devour, what do you think he uses to help get you to be devoured? He roameth about and he plants seeds of doubt, plants seeds of fear. Now, the opposite of faith is doubt and fear. Fear and faith are two opposite things. Doubt will bring fear to you. Now I'm sounding like Yoda. The future is cloudy. I'm telling you, God is doing great things, and he will bless you when you have faith in him. So I know that the station itself was built to be an encouragement, and part of that encouragement is bringing in authors like Mr. Marty Murkowski. He's going to tell you some good things about a devotional that he put together, and it's going to be an exciting thing to help implement that in your family and implement that in your life. I can tell you the truth in my own life. No matter how busy I get in faith, no matter how busy I get in the ministry and television or whatever else, nothing beats spending quality time with your family. 10 minutes, 15 minutes a day or whatever, and speaking with them. And it gets harder as they get older, but this is the time you got your kids with you. This is the time that they are around you. This is the time that they are part of your life, and you have to just trust God that he's going to give you the ability to minister. They want to minister to them, to be a blessing to them. You know, they're seeing everything that's happening around in your house. They are. They're seeing everything that's going on in your home, and they're able to see the good. They're able to see the bad. They're able to see it. There's not a question about it. But God is able to use you in amazing ways to bless him. Now back to what I started saying, and that was that it is easy for me when I'm busy to see God working and God doing things and God moving things and God shaking things. I mean, I came back from this trip, miracles happened, people blessed, people touched, lives changed. Things were just happening, my friends. There's no doubt. There's no doubt. Things were happening. And then you come back, and it's like you're at a fast pace. And I kind of liken it to, because I was in the military, I was in the Navy, I kind of liken it to going out to a conflict or going out an assignment or getting your time in in a different country, and whether it's a war or not a war, there's a different pace to it. And then you come back and you're back in civilian life, and the pace is so separately, so different. It's not the same pace, and you're wondering, is God telling you to go back out there? Well, I had a lot of times where I troubled with it. I had to figure out, this is a season. When I go out and minister to these people, I minister in a different way. I text a good friend of mine today, and I text him something simple, and I kind of realized I probably spelled one of the words really wrong that I was trying to make a point in, and he had text back. I did. I put prospective into this perspective. And, I would go out to these trips, and I would see God just minister to these people. Wherever I went in India, they were just being blessed. Then I'd come back to the United States. And I'd sit in that church, and the first couple of times, well, actually the first time, it was just so hard to be preaching to masses. I'm talking 40,000 people, reaching them, and not all at one place, no. 400 here, 500 here. So you imagine the work that we did, and maybe 1,000 was the largest church that we had, or ministered to the largest village. And so we really spent a lot of time on the road, 5-6 services a day sometimes. And you're doing that nonstop, and you're all your day, and every day was missions, preaching, praying, missions, preaching, praying, reaching out, meeting people, doing pastors' conferences. In my studio right now, I sit here, and there is banners from the right to the left, all the way around, all three of the walls covered in banners, and I could easily cover the next wall, but that another banner that I have is too huge. And all these are just places that I've ministered to in the last 4 years. And I see this, and I look at it, and I'm thinking, God, I see all this, and when people come in here, they see this. And yeah, I can be doing that every day. But God has a season for you to minister. He has a time. When I'm in India and overseas, I'm in a different mode. I'm in a different era, in a different element that I'm working in. When I come back to the States, the States, it usually gets me frustrated the first few days. And I kind of understand that. Nobody really understands this. And I text this to my friend. And I'm going to read it to you. Kind of personal, but I think it's okay. I learned that the need of a balance and perspective. Balance that God uses me there and here at this time in a different way. Perspective that very few truly understand the work and needed missions as they should. And I think that's the biggest cry. Not that we're not seeing God's miracles here. Not that we're not seeing the faith getting where it needs. Because people want, really, they do. They really do. People want to get healed. I don't know anyone that I've talked to that asks me for prayer that doesn't want to get healed and doesn't trust that God can heal him. But I think that the norm is to just trust the hospitals, like Pastor Vargas said the other day, trust the doctor that we get well, but we don't get healed. I think that was a beautiful point. And I see this, my friends, that the mission trips, to really know what God can do in your life, you have to take one of these trips. And I'm not just talking about going with your church and 40 of y'all or 20 of y'all going and building a house. And that's a great mission trip, but that's not what I call a mission trip, my friends. And that's not what I'm called to do. I'm called to take the gospel, preach the word of God, and break down strongholds and bring the power of God. That I come in and I am like Peter in the Bible, and a silver and gold I have not, but that which I have, I give unto thee. Rise up and walk in the name of Jesus. See, that is the stuff that is going to change people's lives. Yeah, we want to help them socially. We want to help them economically as we can. But the one thing that we can give them is the power of God. And I have a huge support of people working there, that no matter how far I go in the villages, there's always someone to catch them and clean them. I'll catch them and clean them. They raise them up and they build them up. And we have no lack of follow-up wherever we go to preach. And discipleship is there. But when I look at everything, and I'll try and cover this in the next couple of minutes before our break, I always look at where am I at? And I'm like, not physically, but in my heart. Well, I look at the whole year, and I see the good things God has done. That even though there's a gap of time, and there is always going to be a gap of time, and usually at the beginning of the year, there's just not much activities happening, not much things going, but there's a time of rest, and I think it's a time of getting in front of God. And there may be a time that's even a year or two long. And I've been in those days, too. In those days, you can say I'm a Texan. Those days. I've been in those days as well. That in those years, in those months where no activity for God was working strong. I was in church. I loved God. I did everything I could. But I didn't see any preaching or miracles like I wanted to see. I just was, you know, just going through the motions, getting things going. And sometimes you have those seasons. I tell you, take advantage of those seasons and read your word and be in prayer. But know this. He that beginneth a good work in you is faithful. Can we say faithful? To complete it to the very end. Can we say faithful to complete it to the very end? Praise God. We'll be right back in just a few minutes. We're going to have another great guest with us. And a little short segment for me today. And I'm not going to blame it. But it was our wireless Wi-Fi was not bringing in our commercials. And we need those commercials and everything. And the intro music. So that's, we run everything off a Wi-Fi thing here, and it wasn't kicking in. And either way, it's working now, and I hope those 15 minutes here of just encouraging you, getting you expecting God's miracles is a blessing to you. And we'll be right back in just a minute. God bless.
One Impact Live. There is one God. You are one person. You have one impact. Join us today to change the world. This is your life. What are you going to do?
Ever wonder if God knows you, if he really sees you or loves you like he saw Abraham, Moses, David, or all the other people in the Bible he chose to do great things? Do you ever wonder if he really cares about the little things in your life or the chaos that surrounds you? Welcome to One Impact Live. I'm Terry Squires, your host for today, and you've just tuned in to the 5-Minute Radio Show that will impact your life and the lives around you. So what is One Impact Live? It's all about him and the power of one. There is one God, you are one person, and you have one impact. Do you know that by sharing your faith to one person, you can reach thousands? Today I'm talking about the one true God. Who is he and what does he want from you? In today's society, we have to be so careful. We don't want to hurt anybody's feelings, and we don't want to offend somebody else's belief. I've heard this phrase so many times. Terry, we have the same God. We just worship him differently. I hate to break the great news. No, we don't. We do not have the same God. I have many friends that have a different faith than mine, and I respect them. But more important, I love them. But we only have one true God, and he is the father of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He is the creator of the universe, the creator of life, the creator of your life and everything in it. He is the one and only God. Listen, he tells us in Deuteronomy 5:6-7, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. You know, a lot of people ask me, Terry, why are you so sure? What makes you think you're right? You don't have to take my word. Ask him. Ask God to show you who is real. And I guarantee you, I promise you, he will. And when he does, your life will change forever. Now, I love the scripture, Psalm 139:13-16. For you created my innermost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. So does he know you? Does he see you? Does he love you? Oh, my friend, yes, he knows you intimately. He sees what you're going through, and he loves you so much. It doesn't matter where you are, where you've been, or what mistakes you've made. Our one true God has a plan and purpose for your life, a life to impact others. So what does he want from you? He just wants to love you. He just wants a one-to-one relationship with you. He just wants to be your father. It's just that simple. Now, if you have any comments or questions, contact me at www.oneimpactbible.com and I'll get your questions on the air. Won't you join me today in changing the world one life at a time? He's waiting for you. And until next time, I'm Terry Squires. Don't forget to make your one impact.
And welcome back to the show. We are getting live here from the studio here in Houston, and we have a very special guest that's part of the show today, and I believe pronouncing his name correctly. We're going to welcome him right now, Mr. Marty Machowski. How you doing, Marty?
I'm doing just fine. Thanks so much for having me on the show.
Hey, not a problem. I'm sorry I was trying to get you in December during the Christmas time, because I read some of your devotionals and stuff here, and I thought, wow, this would be great for families. And I was out of the country in India, so I didn't do too many recordings that month. But we have you now.
Glad to be here, and Happy New Year to you.
I am. Amen. Happy New Year to you, my brother. Tell us first of all who you are, pastor, and what church you have, and just a little history about yourself, and then we'll jump into your book.
Sure. I'm a pastor in a church just outside of Philadelphia called Covenant Fellowship, where I've been a pastor on staff for pretty close to 25 years. And in all that time, I've been leading our children's ministry here, which we call Promise Kingdom. I've got 6 kids of my own, so between Covenant Fellowship and leading the children's ministry here and my own kids, I've got a lot of experience with family, devotions, how do you get what's in the church into families? And that's really the motivation behind why I wrote Old Story New.
Amen. So with all that experience, what do you think are some of the first things parents need to know about reaching their kids? And what age group are we talking about?
Well, the sweet spot of the devotional is grade school kids, but of course, most families who have a number of grade school children also have a few preschool children as well, and the devotional works fine for them, as well as it contains enough information for high school students to not check out thinking, well, that's just too young for me. And I think that parents all desire to do devotions with their kids. I've not met a Christian family that said, oh, the Bible? No, that's not important for our family. But the reality is they just don't know how to take what's in that fat study Bible sitting on the end table, and how do they get from there to family devotions? And that's what I hope I've bridged that gap with this devotional.
Amen. Give us some of the testimonies, the people that have been using your book. And how long has your book been out so far?
Well, this particular volume, the New Testament devotional, has only been out for a little more than a month.
Wow.
But the Old Testament version, which came out a couple of years ago, has been being used by families. It's got the same format, and I've had a number of families say, you know what, we've always wanted to do family devotions, but every time we would get started, it just seemed like things just never took off, our kids weren't interested, and with this, it's short enough that the kids don't get bored or I can keep their interest, but it's meaty enough that I'm giving them some really good stuff, and I have people saying that for the first time we're doing consistent family devotions over a longer period of time.
Wow, that's awesome. So how long did it take you to put this one together? It's pretty thick. I mean, this thing's like 400 pages or so.
Yeah, each of the devotionals took about 500 hours to write, but more than that, these have been used in draft form at our church and rewritten, and I used them on my kids have been like, okay, Dad, we've had that devotional now 3 times over, and we moved to something new.
Amen. Now, how long would a family take to go through your devotional if they took the 10 minutes each day with this?
Well, I give 5 devotions for each week,
okay,
and those 5 devotions for that week are surrounding the same Bible story, and I give enough devotions in the book to last a family a year and a half. So, Old Story New, the New Testament devotionals, a year and a half, Long story short, the Old Testament devotional is a year and a half, so you go through the entire Bible with your family, doing five devotions a week for a three-year period. And that really grounds your kids in the gospel message.
Amen. Now, what are the best times? I know because my kids all have different schedules as well because, of you know, most of my kids are in middle school and I've got one in high school and one in elementary. So what are your suggestions? Do you give suggestive times for people to have devotionals with their family, morning, afternoon, evenings?
Well, you know, there's about 20% of the people that I talk to who they think morning is the time they want to do family devotions. But that's the minority.
Okay.
Then there's another 10% that says, you know what, I like to do this right before the kids go to bed. And those families usually have children all around the same age that hit bedtime at the same time. But the vast majority of families are asking the question, where can I do this? Are you telling me I have to schedule another meeting to do this? It ain't going to happen. And what I've found is that, no, you don't have to schedule another time to pull all your family together. Take advantage of the time where you're already pulled together as a family. And that, for most families, is dinner time, supper time, whatever you call it, the evening meal. You got everybody together. People are really interested in congregating for food. Teenage boys will always come back for food. So, you know, I say take advantage. Say, hey, just stick around 10 more minutes. Let me read a passage from the scripture. Let me talk through a paragraph or two and ask a few questions, and then you guys can be on your way. And that really tends to work very effectively for families.
Amen. Amen. And I can see that. I can see that being a benefit. I mean, they're already there munching and just taking the time before or after to do that kind of devotional. Now, have you heard some testimonies of people using this now and they're seeing some fruit in their household? Because I know when you put the Word of God in your household and you put it constantly in your household, you're going to see some fruit.
You know, I hear testimonies that are just actually pretty amazing. There was one woman who took her daughter on a trip. She was actually in the city riding the subway, and she noticed a man there, and he noticed her, and she was wearing a cross. He said, "Are you a Christian?" And turns out that he was a Jewish fellow, and this mom began talking to him about the gospel, and right in the midst of it, her about 6-year-old daughter said, "Now you know Jesus is the second Adam, don't you?" and what she was trying to do was trying to show this gentleman through the Old Testament how it looked forward to Christ, which is something that we try to do in and through all of our devotions. In the Old Testament, point them forward to Jesus. In the New Testament, point them to the gospel. And she was flabbergasted and realized, where in the world did my daughter learn this? And then she realized, oh, it's the devotional material that she's been going through.
Mm. That's powerful. That is awesome. That is often awesome. God will use that person when you give them the tools, and you're giving your child the tools.
The Holy Spirit, one of his jobs is to remind us of all that Jesus taught. Well, that's the Bible. And so as we put that into our children, the Spirit of God is going to use that in their lives for their own sake personally and also to minister to other people. How many of us as adults remember the scriptures that we memorized when we were in vacation Bible school? And so at first it might seem like, well, all these kids that are coming are my kids, I'm doing devotions, I don't really see the kind of dramatic fruit I was hoping for. But just like planting a seed, you plant the seed, it sprouts, it doesn't look like much at first, but if it takes root, wow, what a giant crop you can get from that one seed planted.
It sounds very powerful. And was there a reason that you decided to do just 10 minutes? I mean, because devotional could be 5, devotional could be 20. Was there a reason you did 10 minutes on these?
Well, you know, I like I said, my family were the guinea pigs. And so as I did this, I realized that, okay, if I do much more than 10 minutes, I'm getting tired. And it works great on a good day. So if you have a 25-minute devotion on a good day, everything's running smooth. But what about those days where the kids are, you know, not paying attention, they're poking each other, they're maybe arguing, you're getting angry, and okay, how do you get through that? Well, 10 minutes a day is enough to get them a good chunk of truth, but not so long that it, you know, on the bad days you're going to get discouraged. And what I tell parents is I say, keep plugging along 10 minutes a day, 10 minutes a day, 10 minutes a day. Before you know it, when you're done, you've really pumped into your children a ton of theology.
Amen. And what do you, I mean, I know this, the stories here, what do they need besides your book, of course, the Bible? What are the things would you recommend? Or does this have everything they need, the devotional right there that they have in front of them?
Well, what we try to do is equip them through the Old Story New Volume with everything they need except for a Bible.
Okay.
And so they're going to need a Bible, put the Bible right next to their devotional book, so when it says, read John chapter 3 from verses, you know, 16 to 20, they'll open up their Bible, read the passage, and then talk it through with what we give them in the devotional. Aside from a Bible, the two volumes, Long Story Short and Old Story New, Old Testament and New Testament, are all a family needs to take their family through the entire Bible. They don't need anything else. And because children learn gradually, what I did with my kids is the first time through, they were familiarizing themselves with the stories. The second time through, and I've done it three times with my kids, they were learning more. By the time they were through it for the third time, they were discussing and interacting with the material in a profound way. And so really these books can go, you can use them again and again. So as soon as your children pass through from the Old Testament to the New Testament, go back to the Old. If you start with the New, from the New to the Old, and go back to the New.
Amen. Now, how does this compare to other curriculum that's out there as far as other teachings and other things that they might have? This takes the entire New Testament, correct?
It does. Old Story New covers the entire New Testament. And what's interesting is I do have a children's ministry curriculum that our church uses and is also available called the Gospel Story Curriculum, which follows all of the same weeks of devotions. The very same stories are taught on Sunday in the churches that use it. So what's wonderful about that is all of the children in Covenant Fellowship are learning the same Bible story. Let's say it's the resurrection of Jesus. Then when you go home, that week's devotional in Old Story New is the resurrection of Jesus, and you're following up with what your kids learned on Sunday. So that is something that's pretty unique. When you add in the fact that every single week we are connecting the story in the Bible with God's redemptive plan, is it looking forward to the cross or looking back at the cross? So that every week you're teaching your children the life-transforming gospel message. The Bible says that the gospel is the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes. It's not your presentation that's going to transform the life of your child. It's the message you're presenting which is going to make the difference in their lives. And when that message is the gospel, that's what they need to be transformed from enemies of the devil locked in sin and darkness to servants of the Lord Jesus Christ focused in on the light of God's word.
Amen. And for families that are out there that don't know the importance, it is important to put the word of God in front of your kids, besides just the pulpit or just besides the youth groups that they go to and besides just the Sunday school. It's important that they see a living Bible, which is the word of God, in front of them during the week and stuff. And when you see these kids out there, Pastor, can you tell the kids that are in a devotion or that are constantly, regularly, and not out calling anyone out there, but can you tell the difference in the children that are probably in the church or children that you may know that are constantly in front of the Word? Can you see a difference in their lives?
Well, the way I would look at it is when you have children who are brought up in the Word of God, God doesn't allow that to return void.
Amen.
And while some children are still going to go through a period of challenge and difficulty, they've got a foundation on which to stand. And I've heard a number of families who had difficult children, who had a season of rebellion in their older years, that came back and said, you know, I could never deny. I just couldn't throw away what I was taught. And so you may not be able to tell. You could have a child that is rebelling whose parents did do really well with devotions, but they're going to come back. What I think is, over the long haul, if you say, here are the kids who are serving and loving the Lord Jesus Christ as adults, how many of them had families who did devotions, it's a far higher percentage of families who invested in their lives than the children who fell away from the church, fell away from their family's faith. A larger percentage of those children weren't really discipled.
Amen. You know, that's very true, Pastor, because I went to a Christian school growing up in the middle school and high school. And now, you know, say 20 years later here, and all my friends that are on Facebook and stuff from that school, they're all, most of them, I'd say about 75% of them are following the Lord. And that's because, you know, we had devotionals every day there. Where, you know, every day during the week we had it, and not comparing it to a family devotional, but the Word of God was put in front of us all the time. And it was something that we recited, we read, and we had chapels every week. And when you do put that, and I love how you wrote this on your bio, it sounds wonderful how you mentioned that you are a planter of seeds, that you sow. I love it. And that word is not going to come back void. What you sow is not going to come back void. And it's true. As you put your time into a devotional and whatever you put into your kids in faith, God is going to use that. He's going to make something awesome. Now, why do you think some people find it hard to do a devotional themselves, even adult, just by themselves to do a devotional? What do you think some of the things that are holding them back?
Well, you know, we live busy schedules. Genuinely, there's a lot going on. Time seems to escape us. And then the bent of our flesh is away from the things of God. Even as believers, you know, Paul talks about the good I want to do, this I do not do, the evil I do not want to do, this I keep on doing. And so there's a war the Bible describes within us. And so what we need is every possible advantage in that war. And what I've tried to do is say to parents, all right, I know it's difficult. I know you're not really sure where to get started. But let me put a tool into your hands that's going to help you win that battle for your family.
Amen. Now, you mentioned different curriculums, and you mentioned the Old Testament one that you have as well. Tell everybody where they can get some of these books at.
Well, if you go to my website, gospelstoryforkids.com, that's www.gospelstoryforkidsallwords.com, you can get a look at some of the sample devotions. You can see the curriculum. I've also written a children's storybook Bible, the Gospel Story Bible. You can see all of these resources, and they all follow the same pattern. They're all pointing forward to Christ or pointing to the cross to provide the life-transforming gospel message for you to give your children.
Amen. Now, Pastor, I'm asking a question not on the devotional, but on something that you're an expert in, and that is, how important is it for churches to have a good curriculum for the kids when they come to Sunday service?
It is absolutely vital that we are passing the gospel message on to our children. There are curriculums out there that do a great job entertaining the children. There are also curriculums out there that teach them moral lessons. But for instance, the story of David and Goliath is not meant to teach children to conquer the giants and have courage in their lives. The story of David and Goliath is meant to teach us this, that all the way back in David's day, the Israelites were disobeying God, were not doing what they were called to do, and were impossibly matched with Goliath, this giant. What did they need? They needed a deliverer. David came to do what they couldn't do, to be their savior, to slay the giant and provide salvation for the people, a salvation they didn't deserve. He was the representative head. If he won, all of Israel won. He's a picture of Christ. He is, Jesus is born into the family line of David as a king in the throne of David. He's the deliverer. He's the one that slays the giants of sin and death. And so when we read that story of David and Goliath in the Old Testament, it's meant to say, there's a picture of Christ. Know that you have a Savior, not a moral lesson. It's meant to highlight and showcase the gospel.
Amen. Now, what's some advice for those churches out there that want to build a better curriculum or better Sunday school for their kids? And they may be, there's so many things out there, like I said, there's things that will entertain you. I've seen some packages that you could buy that just really has all the bells and whistles you would ever want. But what are the things that they need to look for when they're trying to put something together?
They should look for the gospel being presented in every lesson. They should look for lessons that do not teach morality apart from God's saving gospel message. And they need to look for something like, for instance, curriculums might teach something different to every single child. So as a parent, I had, for a season, I had four kids coming home with four different things. One learned about the promises of God. One learned to be a peacemaker. One learned, the names of God. And I'm supposed to do follow-up with all these different kids and devotions, too. And I'm thinking, I can't do this. And I was the children's pastor. If I'm not doing it, nobody's doing it. But the gospel story curriculum tries to answer that by teaching the gospel every week, teaching all the children at different learning levels the same Bible story, and then old story new, and long story short, provide a devotional for families to follow along with churches so that we can partner together in getting that gospel into the next generation.
Amen. And they can get this curriculum. Like if a church wanted to have curriculum for their Sunday school, would that be available on your website?
It is also available on the website. The full Old Testament and New Testament curriculums are published and available at gospelstoryforkids.com.
Amen. Now, tell everybody how this devotional you have is different than others that are available.
Well, the truth is, there's just not that many devotionals for parents that are available. Do a search and look for devotionals for the family which cover the entire Bible, and last time I've done it, this is the only one you can find. There's some on the catechism. There's some on, different components of the scripture. But there just aren't a lot of family devotionals that take you through the entire Bible and certainly that focus in on the gospel message. That's what we've done, and it really stands as a pretty unique product out there in the marketplace.
Amen. Well, we're blessed that you put it together because I'm going to start using this for my kids and our devotionals in the evening for dinner. We're gonna right after dinner or right before dinner, we're going to figure out which one works better for us, and we're just going to go with it. And just I want to see myself put it into them. It's hard when you're the preacher and minister and you travel, which I do a lot, and I do the radio station and TV, and it's like it's always hard to come back home and just try and figure out, okay, how do I present it to them? So this makes it a little...
You're absolutely right, and that's the reason why I put this together, to help people just like you who live busy lives but still want to get the message through to their children.
Amen. Give us your website one more time before you go, Pastor.
It's www.gospelstoryforkids.com.
Thank you, Pastor, for being a part of the show. This is Pastor Marty Machowski, and we appreciate you. And I'm grateful that you answered those questions on the children's churches and stuff, because I know plenty of friends that started churches and still need to see a good program there. So it's a blessing to have you on the air with us.
Thank you so much for having me. Have a great day.
You too. God bless. Bye-bye.
All right. Bye-bye.
Amen. That was Pastor Marty Machowski, and awesome testimonies of just how kids are able to use the tools that you equip them with. Doesn't that make sense? That God's going to use them and use them to do the work of God if you give them the tools. And that's amazing. Again, that's Marty Machowski. You can get his book, Old Story New. You can also get his other books that he has. Let me find those real quick. I know I wrote them all down, and I seen them on the Gospel Story Bible, The Long Story Short, The Gospel Story Curriculum, and then a new one coming out, The Gospel Story Curriculum Following Jesus in the New Testament, which is coming out this month, I believe this month. And so you can get these. You can go to his website, gospelstoryforkids.com. Well, that was a beautiful interview and one that I was excited about because, you know, it's our responsibility. Friends, family, whoever's listening, you are responsible. You are responsible for what your kids take in. What they take in when they're at home, what they take in where you allow them to go, you're responsible for whatever you expose your kids to. And if you expose them to the Word of God, I guarantee you, I'm a product of being exposed to the Word of God at a young age and always in church, always and I would tell you from a kid's point of view, when I was growing up, I didn't want to be at church. I didn't want to be there. I didn't want to do this. I didn't want to have to go here and there. In fact, I think me and my brother and my sister would be real quiet on Sundays, hoping our mom and dad wouldn't wake up to take us to church sometimes. But that's true. But look where I'm at today. I love God. I'm excited about God. Not to say I didn't love God back then, but I'm in God's work and doing God's business, as you might call it, busy about my Father's business, as I told you earlier. And why is that? That is because God had been exposed to me early in my life and constantly, that's the key, constantly putting the Word of God in some front of somebody's life is going to change them. It's going to change them. So I want you to be encouraged. I want you to think about what we talked about today and believe that God can do some great things. Our address is Revelation Ministries, P.O. Box 5172, Kingwood, Texas, 77325. Our prayer line is 888-642-4767. Extension 4 is for the prayer. If you want to dial that and give us a call and let us know you need prayer, even after the shows or anytime during the afternoons, evenings, mornings, whatever, just dial. And if you go to our voicemail, because you probably called when nobody was there, and leave a message or your prayer request, and someone will get them back with you. If you leave a number, we'll contact you. We've had letters come in this last year. People that written us told us that they had a prayer request. Two people recently that I read had gotten healed, gotten delivered, gotten good reports from the doctors back in November, got healed in October. People do believe in God. I do. Do you? Amen, my friends. Well, thank you for listening. Thank you for being a part of the broadcast. Now, remember, on Tuesday, we will have Miguel Renteria here with us in the phone line. I wish he was in the studio. I miss him so much. And see what God does with us and what God does with him. But until then, my friends, I'll catch you next time on the Midwatch. Remember, email us, david@revmedianetwork.com. Let us know that you're listening. Let us know that you have any prayer requests. Several of the prayer requests that came to us were on email as well. And though actually several of them weren't emails, several were letters, and they were healed. They were delivered. God answered them. So God answers the prayers that we put out before him. God bless you, my friends. We'll catch you next time on the Midwatch. We'll catch you next time. We love you. God bless. Bye-bye.
The views and opinions of our guests do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of this station, this show, or its hosts.